Good morning, everyone. Maybe I should say good morning, saints. So we were talking about this morning in Larry's class how that Christians and saints all mean the same thing. This morning's lesson is titled Willing and Able. I believe that we can take the child of God and break them up into basically three basic groups, and that all three of these groups can be described using these two words, willing and able. Now, as we go through this lesson and we look at these various groups, first we'll look at some biblical examples, and then we'll relate it to us today. The first group can be described as willing but not able. Now, the first example that comes to my mind, a biblical example in the Old Testament, is David. Now, many of us would think about David, and especially if you've been here on the Sunday evening worship services, you'll know that David is fully capable and willing of doing great things for God. But there was one instance in his life where there was something that he really wanted to do something for God, but he was not able to. And we can learn about this in 2 Samuel chapter 7, starting in verse number 1. It says, "Now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains.' Then Nathan said to the king, 'Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you.'" Here we see that David had a great desire to build this house for the Lord, for the temple. After all, David understood that all the things that happened in David's life, how he became this great leader, how he was blessed with all these things that he had, was all because of God. And as he seen the ark out there, and it was just out there in this tent made of curtains, he was wanting to do something for God and to build a temple or a house for God. But we find out that David is not going to be able to do this. And David gives us the reason why in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse number 2. It says, "Then King David rose to his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brethren, and my people. I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, "You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood." So here we have a great example of someone that was willing but was not able to perform this service for the Lord. And as you continue on in that chapter, you learn that it is his son Solomon that would end up building this particular house. We also have a great example in the New Testament as well. In fact, we have several of them. I just want to mention a few of them briefly. First of all, think about the Apostle Paul. There were many times that he had a great desire to go visit certain locations or go back to some of the places that he'd been to before. But we know that he was in prison many times, and at those particular instances, he was not able to go back to these particular places he wanted to visit. We also know there were many times that Paul wanted to stay longer at a given city. When he was on his missionary journeys, he would stay there and he would begin to preach the word of God to the people around there, trying to convert them to Christ. But then here would come these Jews that were trying to kill Paul, and they would end up running him out. And so he was always on the run. And so he was not able to be able to stay in these places as long as he would like to. We also see this with the concept in the first century, where many Christians, where they were willing to go preach the good news to those around them. But they would certainly run up to some of those that they were not able to share that word with them because they were not willing to listen to it. Now I want you to think about how this applies to us today. There are many in the church today who are willing but not able to do things for God. For instance, we have a similar thing that they did in the first century. There's many times that some of us are willing to share the good news with those around us, but many today are simply are not willing to listen to us, and so we are not able to share that word with them. We also know that there are many people in the church today that are willing to do great things for God, but they are just not physically capable of doing them any longer. These are people that used to do all kinds of things for God, and they were really busy for Him. But because they got older or something happened to them, they are no longer able to do the things that they are willing to do. And I can tell you this, I can just imagine those people, whenever they start looking around any given congregation, those people that were so on fire for the Lord, but they can't no longer do these things, I can tell you it makes them sad when they look around at their brothers and sisters in Christ and they see those people that are able to do stuff, but they are simply doing nothing. And they certainly would be willing to trade places with them in an instant so they could get busy for the Lord once again. And this leads us to our next group of people. And those people can be described who are able, but they are not willing to serve the Lord. The first biblical example that came to my mind was Moses. Now, many of us think, well, Moses was a great spiritual leader. He did great things for the Lord, and he certainly did. But he started out on very shaky ground. Notice as we look at this story, starting in Exodus 3 in verse number 1. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock back to the desert, or back of the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover,' he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to the land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, or the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to the Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Boy, at this particular time, we need to remember that Moses was 80 years old. For the last 40 years, he'd been a father, a shepherd, a farmer. This is all that he has known at this time. And now he comes a hold of this sight, this burning bush that does not burn up, this fire coming from it. And God begins to call him, to ask him to go to this service, to go to the Pharaoh, to tell them to let his people go. But what do you think Moses' response was? Well, we find out what his response was in verse number 11. So Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Again, here we have a classic case of someone who was fully capable of taking care of it. God knew that Moses was able to take care of this task, but yet Moses was not willing. And this, of course, is just the beginning of Moses trying to squirm his way out of his responsibility. In fact, he begins to want to know, ask God, he says, "Well, how are these people going to believe me?" And God provides a way, shows him these different signs that he can show the people so that they can be convinced. But still, Moses wasn't finished making his excuses. As we look in Exodus 4 and verse number 10, it says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.' So the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say.' But he said, 'O my Lord, please send the hand of whomever else you may send.' So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, 'Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart.'" Here, once again, we see Moses is given these different excuses. And he talks about how he's not an eloquent speaker. He can't speak well. But we know that Stephen tells us in Acts 7 in verse 22, it says that Moses was mighty in his words. And so we know that Moses was definitely making an excuse here. And Moses, he finally stops making excuses and he finally lets God know what's really in his heart. He lets him know that he's just simply not willing to go do this for him, that he wants someone else to do it. He wants someone else to take on that burden because he was not willing to do that at this time. But thankfully, after God talked to him for a while, Moses finally came around, even though he was this older gentleman, although he was making all these excuses, and he finally did the will of God. We could look at many other biblical examples, such as Jonah. We know that Jonah, that he was all he had to do was he was fully capable of doing, was going to Nineveh and preaching the word to them. But what does he do? He runs, tries to hide away from God. He was able, but he was not willing. Another example would be Jeremiah, a very young man. You look in the very first chapter of that book, you begin to see God calling this young man to service. And the young man begins to give an excuse. He says, I'm too young to speak your word. But he does not get away with this. God makes sure and tells him that he has the ability to do this. Again, another man that was able but was not willing at that time. We could also look at New Testament examples, such as the rich young ruler. Remember, he asked Jesus what he needed to do. And Jesus said if he wanted to be perfect, he needed to sell all he had and follow him. Well, this man was able to do this, but he was not willing, and so he went off in a sad condition. We could also think about Felix. Whenever he was talking to Paul, and Paul began to tell him about things to come, talking about Christ. But Felix was afraid, and he didn't want to listen to it. Even though he was able to, he put it off, and he never came back as far as we know. And so, friends, we can see that this is a sad condition for the child of God to be in. For someone to be able to be able to do stuff for the Lord, but yet they are not willing. Every congregation has people that are able to do things for the Lord, but yet they are not willing. We can see this in a variety of different ways. We don't have time to look at every one of them. But one aspect, probably one of the easiest services that we can render to God, is that of church attendance. That is making it to the services and being a part of the congregation. Now, as you know, we take a head count on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I averaged for the last 14 weeks, as you see up on the screen right here, basically a three-month average. And on Sunday morning, we see that we have about 80 people in attendance. And we average about 48 on Sunday night. And on Wednesday night, we have 50. And now the chart below, you can see the scale of what this looks like as you look across there. Now, I understand that part of this, you see basically have around average around 30 people that don't come on Sunday evening or Wednesday night. Understand some of these people will be visitors. I understand that. Some people may be sick. Some people may have jobs that they have to go to. Or some may not be physically capable of coming other than Sunday morning. But I think we could all agree that we could definitely grow in this area. And I can almost guarantee a great portion of that number, of that 30 that's there, a great portion of them are certainly capable, fully capable of coming on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And these things are important. These things are services that we can render to God. Now, I don't know what motivates every single person to be able to be a faithful servant to God, to be able to come faithfully. But I can tell you what motivates me. Whenever I begin to think about God and the love that He had for me, that He had for every single one of us, and how He bestowed His grace upon every one of us through His Son, and how the Bible says that God purchased the church with His own blood, which is you and I. We make up that church. I begin to think about all these great blessings that He's given us, the promise of heaven that He gives us. And whenever I think about how wonderful it is to be gathered together with my brothers and sisters in Christ, to be with like-minded people, people that are trying to strive to serve God with their whole heart. All of these things together really encourage and motivate me to be someone that attends the services and the Bible classes every opportunity that I have. I don't know of any better way that we could serve the Lord, and the easiest way that we can serve the Lord in trying to be faithful in our attendance and our Bible studies. Of course, this is only one aspect of service that we can take advantage of, because I can tell you that there are still many in the church today. There are many, and I'm talking about not just here at Long Grove, but I'm talking about everywhere. There are many in the church today that are fully able to do things, but they are not willing to do them. For instance, many churches throughout the United States, they need Bible class teachers. And there are certainly both men and women that are capable, fully capable of teaching Bible classes, but they are not willing to do so. We also have many rooms in the church that we need spiritual leadership. We need men that are willing to stand up to become elders of congregations, to take on that responsibility. But many times people make excuses of why they can't do this. And they convince themselves and they convince others that they cannot do these particular things. This also goes in the realm of visiting the sick or the wayward. There are many people that are able to do this, fully capable, but they simply are not willing to take the time to do so. And then finally, just about every one of us, I would believe, is fully able to invite people that we know to the church services or to talk to them about God. But a lot of times, even though we're fully able, a lot of times we are simply not willing to do so because of fear and other reasons. Can you imagine how strong the church would be today if every single Christian stopped making excuses for the things that they're able to do and started doing the things that they are capable of doing? How about you? I want you to examine yourself this morning. I want you to think, are you doing the things that you are capable of doing? Or are you making excuses? Are you telling yourself, I can't do this, I can't do that? Or are you telling other people that whenever you know good and well that you're capable of doing many great things for the Lord? Now, our final group this morning that we're going to look at can be described as both willing and able. And we certainly have many great examples in the Bible of people like this. First one that came to my mind, I was reminded of Noah and his family. They were the only people that were righteous during that time. They were the only ones that were willing to stand for God and on his side. And they had so much faith and trust in God that they built that ark, which took, if I remember correctly, somewhere a little over 100 years. That's a lot of faith and trust in God. Those are people that were willing and able. You never seen them complaining. You never seen them making excuses of why they couldn't build the ark or why they could not go out and try to preach the word to those out in the world, because they just went out and they did it. I also think about Abraham. Boy, think about Abraham. He was a man that was really faithful to God. He was a man that had to wait for a long time for that promise that he would have a son. He was somewhere around 100 years old or older before he finally was able to have that son that was promised to him. That was precious to him. He waited for it so long. But God decided to test him, as we read in Genesis 22 in verse number 1. It says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him." I want you to put yourselves in Abraham's shoes just for a minute. I want you to think about, if you have children, how much you love them. But think about, you had to wait so many, many years, and all you had was this one child. You loved him to death. He was very precious to you. And then all of a sudden, God asked you to take his life. Now, many of us would be physically capable of taking a child's life, but certainly it would be very difficult for us to follow God's word and be willing to do this. But what we see from Abraham is that he was both able and he was willing to do this. He was willing to follow God's word. And you do not find in one instance where he hesitates. You do not see where he starts making excuses. We see that he just does what God asked him to do, as we look at verse number 6. It says, "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to a place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar up on the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So just as Abraham was about to take that fatal blow, the angel of the Lord calls out and prevents him from taking his son's life. Wasn't really God's intention. He was just testing his faith at this time. But again, we see that Abraham is certainly a great example of someone that is both willing and able to do God's bidding. Some other great examples would be Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. We know that as they stood before King Nebuchadnezzar, they would not bow down to that idol, to that image that he had created. And the people were trying to trap him, and they came before the king. The king gave him a second chance to bow down, but they would not do it because they were willing and able to stand upon God's word. And they were thrown into that fiery furnace. Of course, we know the outcome, that God was with them and delivered them from that place. Our last Old Testament example that I really like is found in Isaiah chapter 6. God was looking for who he could find that would go preach his word for him. And I love what Isaiah says in Isaiah 6:8. It says, "Here am I, send me." See, there was no hesitation. Isaiah was both willing and able to try to do what he could for the Lord. He was ready to be sent to proclaim his word. And of course, there are many examples of this in the New Testament as well. But we're not going to look at a bunch of those. I want to look at one particular section of Scripture. It talks about an entire congregation that was both willing and able. Look here in 2 Corinthians 8, starting in verse number 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." Here we have an entire congregation at Macedonia. Not only were they willing and able to give of their means of themselves, they also gave themselves over to the Lord. And not only did they do this, they even gave beyond their measure. And because of this, Paul has recorded this church and what they did forever within our text. There are also many in the church today who are willing and able to serve the Lord. Christians like this are the backbone of every congregation. And if it wasn't for them, not very many things would get done for the cause of Christ. And this is something that we all need to work toward. It would be so wonderful if every person did what they were able to do. But you know what's wonderful about God? Is that He knows our hearts. He knows exactly what we're capable of doing. He doesn't keep some scorecard because this person over here can do more things than this one over here. No, He is completely satisfied and happy whenever we do those things that we are capable of doing, when we give our best to God. A great illustration of this is found in Mark 14 in verse number 3. Notice in our little story here. It says, "In being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, 'Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and wherever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." This story shows us without a doubt that God will be completely satisfied with what we can do. He doesn't expect us to do more than we're able. He just expects us to do what we are capable of doing. Well, the last main question I have to ask you this morning is, are you doing what you can? Are you doing what you can? I hope this lesson this morning has encouraged you to stop making excuses for the things that you're fully capable of doing, Instead, I hope this lesson has encouraged you to start being more willing to doing those things that you are fully capable of doing. That being said, if there's anyone here this morning, maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're not doing the things that you should. Well, make the change this morning. Start doing those things you're capable of doing. Start relying upon God and praying to Him for the strength that you need to get through those things. Or if you're here this morning and maybe you need the prayers of this congregation or you need to repent of something publicly, we're here for you for this morning for that as well. But if you're here this morning and you've never become a child of God, today is your day of opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. And if you are willing to obey the gospel call, you can become a Christian today and begin to serve God willingly throughout the rest of your life. So if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're ready to turn your life over to Him by repenting and confessing Jesus as your Lord, then why not be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? If we can serve anybody in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.